risen from the dead and he is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Lord.
Good morning, folks, and welcome to each and every one this morning. We're so glad to see you in the Lord's house. It is good to be here, and it's good to be with you folks. And God is good, and God is working good things out for his people. And yet there's difficulties in our lives, and we have troubles in our life. We have physical problems in life. And so for you folks who do not know it, Norma Jean is in the hospital and very serious. They don't know what's going on, and so they just called then during Bible class for Omer to come and so forth. They're not doing well at all. So before we begin our service this morning, I'd like for us all to come together and join our hearts and spirits together. And I'm going to ask Doodle and Virgil if they'll come forth, and I'll come down there, and we would like to lead you and help you have prayer. Let us just have a session of prayer for Norma Jean and Omer. If you'll do that, come.
Dear God, our Heavenly Father, as we come together at this time, we have a family here, Heavenly Father, that our hearts are heavy because of one we have loved, dear God, that's so dear to us, this family is, and are going through a terrible time, a tough time. Heavenly Father, we know we live and we die. We just have to face the truth of that. But Heavenly Father, it's hard. And it's difficult sometimes for us. And we need your strength. We need your Holy Spirit to woo us and to help us. And more than that, we need the Holy Spirit to work with Omer and Norma Jean and that family. And Heavenly Father, that they just work out things good for them, Heavenly Father.
Father, we continue to pray. We ask that you do the Lee family. We ask that you give Norma peace, strength, the whole family. We ask that you touch Norma and the doctors that may determine what her problem is. She may be made better, just that she can be back with us.
Father, we thank you for Norma and all the Lee family. They have been your servants for many years. If it be your will, we ask your healing touch on her body, that she may again join us and do your will. And we ask these things in Jesus' name.
Amen. And we're so thankful, and we thank you for the prayers. Maxine is with us this morning. She's not really up to full par yet, but we're so glad that she's done better and able to be out and be with us this morning. Just a couple of verses from Psalms 2. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel against together against the Lord and against the anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, and the Lord shall have them in the in duration. Listen, God is in the heavens, and he knows what's going on, and he will help us, and he will take care of those things that bothers and hinders you in doing his will and his work.
Hymn of worship this morning will be 198, and we'll sing the first and fourth verse. It's all stand. First and fourth verse, 264.
Take and eat, this is my body. And he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the cup, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on, until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. Let us pray.
Father, we thank you again.
Dear God, our Heavenly Father, as we come to you at this time, we're so thankful, Heavenly Father, you have blessed us so abundantly. You have blessed our people, and we thank you, Heavenly Father, for blessing this church family. And Heavenly Father, you have blessed them in good ways, very good ways, and you have provided for them very well. And so, Heavenly Father, we bring a portion of our earnings back to Heavenly Father to support the work here at the Porter and to help carry out the ministry throughout the community. So, Heavenly Father, we pray that you bless those who give, the giver and the gift, and bless, Heavenly Father, the church as we go forth in your name. In Jesus' name we praise you for it. Amen. Okay, to share a few things with you. Hey, this is Michael's birthday. That'll be Tuesday. You get a day off?
No.
Well, if it was tomorrow, you'd have a day off.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I got a word for that after a while. This Friday night will be our food fun fellowship night, so we hope that everybody will be able to be there, and we hope things will be a little bit better for everybody, and we'll just come together and have a great time in praise, in fellowshipping with the good things God has given to us and allows us to do. We thank the people that are working with the revival thing and our centennial. We had a good meeting the other night, and people had ideas. We got things pretty well worked out and such, so we're thankful for that. Keep praying for that. I really had planned on starting today and going through this month with looking at the revival and what revival means and so forth, and bringing sermons of that. And then I happened to realize that tomorrow's Labor Day, and I have to say something about Labor Day. So today will be a Labor Day message, and then the rest of the week we'll be thinking about revival. The rest of the month we'll be considering revival, what revival really is and what it can do for us and what we should be doing for it. And so pray for me and those preparing and finishing those messages together, if you will. And let's see, what else? Anything else that we need that's taking place that I'm leaving out? All right. Let's turn to our prayer list then this morning, and we have a couple things I want to share with you. Again, I thank you so very much, and I ask you to continue to pray for Maxine and us with strength and health. I'm so thankful that she's able to be up and come this morning, and I know she doesn't really feel completely for that, but we're so thankful that God is working, and we see God working in people's lives. We're so thankful we have a God that creates. We're faced with these things. There's no way we're getting around these things. We live in an infected world. We live in a world where there's evil and disease and so forth, and we're subject to those things. But we have a God that helps us through them. And as we suffer through these things, it helps us to appreciate God very much more. And when I look around and see you folks and see what you went through, and we were able to relate to you, like Peggy got a good report, and Pauline got a good report the last time she was there to the doctor, and so forth, and different ones that we see, and Jerry's brother, he got off the prayer list, and different ones off the prayer list, and it's so good to see God working in our lives, and just because you're going through a tough time, just because you're suffering an illness or something, and there's Bob, he wasn't with us last week, and he's feeling better today, he says. And he's going this week to pain management and so forth, and we pray that'll work out. But we're faced with those things, and so don't think that God doesn't care when you get into that situation, because just remember and look around and say, well, God brought that person through, and God brought that person through, and that was because of the goodness of God. and he's good to me as well as he is to you. And so I'll be very thankful for that and to continue and pray for those saints. David Doss, we've mentioned several times, is now back in a terrible condition, and they're not really sure what to, how he's going to handle all this. He talked about the stomach, the operations and such, not going well at all. So we want to put him back on our, in our prayers right much. We mentioned Bob Parker. We said that last week he was doing better, and he was in rehab and so forth. He's back in the hospital at Louisville, and my understanding, he's got a lot of infection or something that's taken place, and so that's creating a big problem for him there. So remember him and Norma Jean, naturally. Pray for her and Omer. Let's see some of those others on there. But keep this prayer list before you and consider their needs and pray for their needs, and then also pray for each other and pray for each other's needs. And I'll throw this in there, but I mean, make it secondary, because pray for all these people that are really in need. This Thursday, I got to go back for an echogram, and then Monday I'll meet back. Next Monday I'll meet with the doctor, and he'll have me results from that. But I'm anticipating good things to come out of that. God is good, and he's been good to me, and you people are just been praying for strong and so forth. And I know that, you know, that again, just like you folks, we're suffering these things, but God's going to bring us through. And I'm convinced, and I'll see Maxine already out there in the yard, and she got on me this morning because her flowers out front is dried up, and I just can't keep everything going, and I didn't water the flowers in her pots out there. And she'll be back out there before you know it. But God is good to us, and God blesses us, and God's blessed our nation. And, you know, I really thought better of America, America's people, during this Cain funeral, Senator Cain's funeral. I'm really disappointed. I really am. And I think we really need to pray. I thought our nation was better than what it is. And for take a good, I'll say this and consider this, you know, we've got to give people credit where the credit's due. But Senator Cain evidently did a lot for the country and had his head for mankind and so forth. But he had an ill feeling for our now president. And if you noticed in that funeral that you know, I never thought that anybody would do a derogatory type of thing. But there were some things that were said that I would have thought never was said at a funeral, because we ought to be looking at that man and praising God for goodness, the goodness that people can do. And so I say we need to really pray for this nation, and we really do need to pray for this nation. I thought we were better than that was demonstrated during that time. Enough of that. Our service people, gosh, I just wish we didn't have to have service people fighting and so forth and losing young lives and legs and arms and so forth. And so earnestly pray, you know, that, gosh, we could have some peace and people will be able to live like God would have us to live, you know, and enjoy the goodness of God. God has placed us with so much goodness, and yet so much wrongness is in the world, and we need to earnestly pray for that. And those people who can't care for themselves, and I think about them all the time, and I think, you know, we may be that away someday. Hope we never are, but I'm so thankful we have places that helps those people and are concerned about them and such. So, and then pray for this church. Pray earnestly during this month for revival time and for the things that's going to be taking place, and God will be good to us. I know that, and God will help us. So much to be earnestly in prayer about. And if I'm leaving some out, forgive me, help me. But keep these people in before you.
Our prayer hymn will be number 253, first and fourth verse, and then I will have our prayer. We'll all stand.
Just when I need him, Jesus is near. Just when I falter, just when I fear, ready to help me, ready to cheer. Jesus is near to comfort and cheer just when I need Him most. Just when I need Him, He is my all, answering when upon Him I call, tenderly watching lest I should fall.
Dear great Lord above, we thank you for always being there when we need you most. Amen. We thank you for all that you do for us, and we know that you have a healing hand in our lives and everyone else's lives. And we stand here and we have this prayer list before us, and we see all these people who need all these great needs, and we know that you are the powerful God that can play a part in this. And we just ask that you please put your healing hand upon Norma and be with Omer and their families as they go through this troubling time. Please give them the strength to get through. We give praise to you for the healing that you have done. We thank you for seeing Maxine here today. We thank you for Bob being here. And we know that it is your power that is doing this. And we just ask that you please continue to do this for our friends and for our family. We ask that you please watch over this nation. Please be with all of our service people. And please be with Benny as he brings this morning's message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
All right, our hymn of decision will be number 401. And then I believe Virginia has a special for us this morning.
I have a request. Friday night, when you all are eating dinner, would you please think about me and take a bite for me? Because I will probably be and near the airport in Little Rock, Arkansas. And I am so proud to get to go see my family.
I'll take two bites.
You take two bites? Wonderful. How about three? I dream of a city called Glory, so bright and so fair. When at the gate I called holy, the angels all met me there. They showed me from mansion to mansion, and all the sights I saw. But I said, I want to see Jesus, the one who has died for all. Then I bowed on my knees and cried, holy, holy, holy. I clapped my hands and sang, glory. Glory to the Son of God. I thought when I entered the city, my friends knew me well. They showed me all through heaven. The scenes are too numerous to tell. They showed me Abraham, I see Israel, Mark, Luke, and Timothy. But I said, I want to give praise to the one who died for me. Then I bowed on my knees and cried, holy, holy, holy. I clapped my hands and sang, glory, glory to the Son of God. I thought when I saw my Savior, oh, glory to God. I just fell down right before Him, singing praise in the name of the Lord. I bowed down and over my friend of Calvary, for I wanted to give praise to Jesus for saving a sinner like me. Then I bowed on my knees and cried, holy, holy, holy. I slapped my hands and cried, glory, glory to the Son of God. Then I bowed on my knees and cried, holy, holy, holy. I clapped my hands and cried, glory, glory to the Son of God.
Thank you, Kathleen and Virginia, for your special. Very well, thank you so very much. Labor Day. And the Labor Day is a holiday that was established for the American worker. And it has its roots way back in 1894, when it first began. And it was a good thing, really. The Bible speaks about work. And throughout the pages from Genesis, really, to the book of Revelation. And when you hear the word job, what do you think about? You know, do you think, you know, a lot of people like to get off that day and on their birthday and get off from work. And some people would say today, I'm glad I don't have to go to work tomorrow. And there's some people says, I'm glad I've got a job. And there's some people said, I wish I could find a job. You know. Maybe you thought about the song, you know, of the seven dwarfs as they sang as they went, you know, hi-ho, hi-ho, off to work I go. What was your first job? You remember your first job? My first job, of course, we grew up on the farm and stuff, but my first job was working at a filling station. I can remember that. My first what I call a payable job was working at the filling station. And you think about, you know, and I just wonder if you remember where you what your first job was. And, you know, again, I say many people try to get away to celebrate Labor Day for various reasons. And there's a lot of people, you know, that do say, and there's a lot of companies that let this person get off on their birthday, you know, and not go to work and celebrate their birthday. But I read about this man that he did it completely different. There was this old gentleman and he was 100 years of age. And instead of him taking off on his birthday, he went back to work on his birthday and worked that day of his birthday at a job he had had for 32 years. And so isn't that wonderful? Instead of wanting off, he went back to work. He loved his work, didn't he? He loved his work. And so this morning, what I'd like for us to do is look at, I'm going to bring some verses and so forth to you and try to encourage with or remind you of what we have as remind you of what your labor in the Lord is, I guess. And I'm looking at Colossians chapter 3 and verses 23, in fact, but the New American Standard, I believe, gives it this way, a couple different ways I want to share with you. The New International Version, I better say, says it this way. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. But the King James puts it this way. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. So I want to encourage you and want to remind you of what your labor for the Lord is. And I thought once of getting some ideas from the congregation, but I've kind of decided not to do that because I always get myself in trouble when I do that. But number one I have this morning, and remember, your labor for the Lord is, you know, we used that thing with in Christ I am. Well, this is your labor. Your labor for the Lord is, so everything is said, your labor for the Lord is number one is this. It's a labor of love. Labor of love. Someone has said, if you don't love your work, you better get another job. And the labor for the Lord is certainly a labor of the Lord. Listen to what Paul writes of the Thessalonians. And Paul says, he's really complimenting them, really. Because he says to the Thessalonians, he said, I remember without ceasing your work of faith and your labor of love and the patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Notice Paul says, in the Lord Jesus, your labor of love in the Lord Jesus before God, our Father in heaven. First of all, he says, though, I remember your work of faith. So your work is of faith. Some people says faith is a work. Faith is not a work. Work is of faith. If you have true faith, you'll do work. And James makes that very plain, you know. And so Paul is saying here, I remember your work. And I remember your faith because your faith puts you to work. You know, if your faith doesn't move you to action, there's something wrong. That's what Paul is saying here. Your faith moved you into action, and you did those things which were pleasing to God, and you did it out of love for the Lord Jesus Christ and Almighty God. And so the labor for the Lord Jesus, number one, is a labor of love. If you are serving in some other way, if you're just doing what you're doing, if you're just being where you're at, if you're just being what you are to be being, then you got a problem. If your work for the Lord is not a work of love, better get another job. Better get another job. Secondly, well, you know, let me try to illustrate that in a little bit. And you women know, you mothers know. You know, we talk about mothers and how mothers are so important. But visualize a mother who has been busy all day. The children, taking care of the children, doing all the housework and everything. And they really are tired. And end of the day comes and they're just wore out and tired. And there's the little one. And it's got dirty hands and dirty face, and it's bedtime, and the thought crosses your mind, we'd just throw him in bed and let him be. But you don't do that, do you? No. You go, you get the warm, damp cloth, damp washcloth, and you get the towel, and you go in, as tired as you are, labored all day, and you're just frizzled out, and you get down, and you wash them little hands, and you wash that little face, and you kiss that little cheek and put them to bed. Now, that's labor of love. That's labor of love. And our labor for the Lord should be a labor of love. And secondly, this is this. Your labor for the Lord is a labor known by Christ. Revelations 1, 2, and 3. And reads like this, and it tells us and assures us that God knows what this church is doing. God knows what you're doing. God knows your work. Listen to what he says. He's writing to John. This is Jesus talking to John. He says, write, and he's writing to a church. You know, we could almost be us, as he says. Now, unto the angel of the church at Ephesus. Now, if you remember, Ephesus had quite a struggle. And so now, here in the book of Revelation, Jesus tells John to write to this church, and this is what he says. Unto the angel of the church at Ephesus, write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, that's Jesus. And this is what he says, I know thy works. He says, I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, how thou cannot bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them, and when they say they're apostles, and are not, and has found them liars, and has borne, and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored, and has not fainted. Did you get all that? He said that you have, notice once he says there, that they have been through difficult times, but they have hung in there. They have hung in there. But the main thing that I want us to get out of there is this, isn't it? The Lord knows our works. The Lord knows our works. How many times have you changed the spark plugs in your car and your wife didn't know it? How many times have you dusted in your house, wives, women, and your husband never knew it? You know, many things that you do, people don't know. But you know, there's not a thing that you do for the kingdom that God doesn't know. He knows. And that's what Jesus is telling the church at Ephesus. And I hope that we can read that in a sentence that's too Porter too. I know your works. You haven't fainted. I was looking for a revival theme, and I wanted you to know that carry on 100 years, and we're still going. But that's beyond this thing. But number one, your labor for the Lord is a labor of love, and your labor of love is known by Christ. And if you remember in the first verse we used there, it was in Christ, and God saw that. God knows everything that's going on. He knows what you're doing. And your labor for the Lord is a labor known for Christ. And your labor, and the third thing I find here is this, and your labor of love is a labor that God does not forget. You know, it's known for, and I've already mentioned, Hebrews 6 and 10 is a good version. God is not righteous to forget your work. The writer of Hebrews says, and I believe that to be the Apostle Paul, and he's writing, he says, God is not unrighteous. He rightly knows what you're doing, and he's not going to forget your work and labor of love. That's what the verse says. Hebrews 6:10, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. So what you're doing out of the love that is produced in you through Christ Jesus. And God sees that, and God will not forget that. And another thing we had, I won't get on that. But here again, I want you to notice what he says. He mentions this he says, Paul recognizes this labor of love for Christ, you know. I mean, you're serving Christ, hopefully not in a selfish way, but you're serving Christ because you love him. I have to say, Lord, I know I'm not worthy of all that you give me. I'm not worthy of the good wife that you give me. I'm not worthy of the family you've blessed me with. I'm not worthy of the blessings that I have in my life. I'm not worthy of being minister of the Porter Christian Church, oh God. But you have gave them to me. You have allowed me to have them. I experienced those things. And I don't take them for granted. And I think God knows I don't take them for granted, because I serve this church, and I'm not trying to make points, but I serve this church out of because I love you. And the reason I love you is because Christ loves me. And Christ is put within me to love people who love the Lord and serve the Lord. And so that's the way I serve. And so notice, your labor has to be of love. If I could, If I was to stop loving you people, I'd just have to quit ministry. If I could stop loving God's people, I'd just have to quit. That's what drives me, loving God's people. Why? Because God so loved me, he gave his begotten son that I should not perish. So yes, he mentions that so often. And then, your labor for the Lord is a labor for eternal things. You know, many people labor for the things of life, things of the world. And I'm not against, I've said this many times, and I will continue to say, I'm not against pleasure. I'm not against good times at all. I'm not against having good things, because I think God wants us to have good things. God wants us to have good times. Jesus demonstrated that, and Jesus said that. And he, matter of fact, he said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He wants you to have good things. He wants you to enjoy life. But I think sometimes that some people labor too hard for the latest clothes, the latest shoes. And, you know, it just isn't too long till you outgrow them, is it? Or they just don't fit for some reason or other. Or they're out of style and so forth. So your labor for the Lord should be a labor for eternal things. And that doesn't mean you can't have good clothes and so forth, and you ought to have, you know. And that doesn't mean because they don't fit, you can't buy more. I'm not saying that, you know. But let's just don't labor to have them. Yes, you labor to have them, but I think if we labor for the Lord, for the eternal things, we're going to have them anyhow. That's what Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you, Matthew 6, 33. And he says, so why seek after them? John 6, 22, 27 says, labor not for the meat which perish, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. God the Father has sent Jesus to give you the best that he has. And so we need to labor for those things that are eternal. Mark 8, 36 says, but for what shall a man profit if he gains a whole world and loses his soul? Nothing, you know. And why labor for money and pile it up because we can't take it with us? And then number five is this, your labor for the Lord is a labor which is rewarded. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 8. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. So we have different things to do, and we labor in different ways. We do labor for different people for different reasons and so forth. But we all labor in love for the Lord, and we will be rewarded for that. Jesus said, if you give a cold cup of water to a little one, in the name of a disciple, you will not lose your reward. And he goes on and says also in Mark 9 and 4, he said, for whosoever shall give you a drink of cold water in my name, he says, shall not lose his reward. Let me read that. Jesus said, for whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name because you belong to Christ. So when you read that verse, don't forget, as I did, then leave out in Christ there. Whosoever shall give you a cup of cold water to drink in my name because you belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. So your labor for the Lord is a labor which will be rewarded. And many places in the scriptures teaches us about the things that we have that God has given. God rewards us in this life, but boy, it's nothing to what he's going to reward us in the life to come. And it's sad in one note, but joyous in another note, because there are many people that are going to miss out. There's a lot of people missing out right now on what God has for them. And there's a lot of people going to get to heaven, and they're not going to receive some rewards that they could receive because their labor for the Lord was what it ought to be. but to you, your labor for the Lord. You who are laboring for the Lord, you will receive rewards. And then 6, your labor for the Lord is a labor that never ends. You know, it surprises me, in one sense, so many preachers who retire. It seems like that this day that we're living in now, and I say this in a kind way, but it seems like that many preachers preaches just like some of you folks worked in the factory. They're there, they're doing a job, and in 20 years they'll retire and they will quit. And some then writes books and some do the engagements and so forth, but many of them doesn't do anything. I know several who have done that. I know several real, and some of you know some, that they did that just so they could retire, and they don't do nothing now. No. If you labor with love for the Lord, you don't quit. You don't quit. I hope, and I visualize, and I hope the Lord will allow me and use me till the day I die. I read a man, who was it? Peggy and Doodle's daughter-in-law, grandfather, preached when he was 100 years old, didn't he? You remember, Doodle, did you tell me that? Jim's wife's grandfather. Did you tell me that? You don't remember that? Okay. I was pretty sure, I thought it was you that told me that he was 100 years old, his grandfather, and preached. But nevertheless, there has been people do that. And if I reach to be, I always kidded with Artie, and ask him and see if, I don't know why, if that's not true, I don't know where I come up with that. I used to kid Artie, and you people know Artie. Me and Artie had a thing. Bless her heart. Boy, she'd really get on me, and she'd get after me and so forth. I never will forget the biscuit thing. But I'd tell Artie, I said, I'm going to preach a sermon when I'm on my 100th birthday. And she said, you can't preach now. Don't know how you're going to do that. She was something else. But listen, your labor for the Lord never ends. Luke 10:2, Jesus said, and Jesus had his disciples, and they were walking in there, and Jesus had gained such popularity that people were just flocking to him. And if you remember, in the days of Jesus, they all wore long clothing, and most of it was white. And this is what Jesus says. I picture Jesus walking along with his disciples, and here's all these people. They're coming. They're running together. They want to hear Jesus and so forth. And here's what Jesus told them in Luke 10:2. Therefore said he unto them, to his disciples, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into their harvest. They will always be a harvest until the Lord comes and harvests and makes the great harvest. And there always will be people that needs to be harvested. So I interpret that to say, our labor never ends. Our labor never ends. And last one is this. Your labor for the Lord is a labor not in vain. 1 Corinthians 15:58 reads like this. And I think the Apostle Paul admonishes you and me by saying this. And I think it's encouraging to me and to you when I read this verse and so forth, and we ought to have this in our spirit. And the Apostle Paul says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Listen to what he's saying. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Isn't that great? Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I know many of you are like me probably. From time to time, I get discouraged. You ever get discouraged? I get discouraged sometimes. I'm sure we all do that sometimes. And I get to the point sometimes I just want to give up, you know, and so forth. Things just going different and such. But when I get discouraged, God keeps bringing that verse up to me. And I just have to get up and go, you know. He keeps telling me, you know, bringing that verse up. And certainly he reminds me. He reminds me. Your labor is not in vain. Your labor is not in vain. So whatever you do, you know, I love that. I love that verse. Your labor is not in vain. You may be hated for what you do, disliked, disagreed with, talked about. But if you're laboring in love for the Lord, God's not going to forget it. Jesus knows all about it. And you're going to be rewarded. And it's not going to be in vain. It's not going to be in vain. Tremendous verse for us to have. Much of our labor is outside of Christ. You know that. Most of your labor is outside of Christ. But the labor you labor for the Lord Jesus Christ, that should be foremost in our minds, in our hearts, and in our lives. I'll share with you this little story as we close. And this young lad that was a manager for our Dairy Queen. He was 19 years of age. And Joey Persunk is his name. He's in Minnesota. And this particular day, this blind man came in. And he was fumbling around his pocket and getting his money out. He dropped a $20 bill. There was a lady behind him, reached down to pick that up and put it in her purse. And the young man, Joey, saw that. Another person over here saw that. And the young manager walked over and told the lady, asked the lady, give the $20 back to the man. That's his. He dropped that. She said, it's mine. I dropped it. He said, I saw him drop it and saw you pick it up and put it in your purse and I give it back to him. And she wouldn't do it. And she got furious. And he said, okay, he said, I want you to leave our establishment. He said, I don't want to serve anybody that's that unconsiderate. And this person on here to take it all that in. And so he just gently told her, and she did curse him and so forth, and she left. This person who saw all that wrote to Dairy Queen and told them what took place. And they put in an email, and it hit the internet. They posted it, and it hit the internet. And people flocked there to that restaurant to tell them the young man he did what was right. He said he just did what most people would do. And so as she wrote, though, she said, this young man, when he spoke to the lady, didn't have an attitude at all, did it nice. But he said that the one that wrote said, here's the thing that really grabbed her. After this blind man went over and sat down, this young 19-year-old lad, who was managing Dairy Queen at the time, walked over to the blind man, took out his billboard that gave him a $20 bill. And then went back to work. Now, the place is flocked with people, right? And a lot of people giving money for his college. Got a phone call from the headquarters of Dairy Queen. Some of you might know this. Dairy Queen is owned by a company that, but
story short, when this story took place, this was back. This really actually happened. And you can read it in the news. Pulled up in Port 1914. This is what happened. Buffett said, "Wanted to meet this man." Buffett owns this Dairy Queen, and he wants to meet the shareholders. Now the CEO says, at that time, said, "We're not sure exactly what